would Nanda and Yasoda need to worry about Krishna? After all, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, nothing can happen to him. But nonetheless, his parents, Nanda and Yasoda, are always worried about him. So Prabhupada said, in the same way, I'm always worried about Iskand. And at the end of his life, Srila Prabhupada gave one final instruction, and that instruction was never leave Iskand. So I thought today, I want to tell you the story of of at one point in the earlier days of Iskand, maybe 1969, 1970, the devotees were getting a little more experienced. They were not so new anymore. And they were not as dependent on their spiritual master as they were before. And Prabhupada saw signs. They forgot to print his name properly on the book that is wrote Bhaktivedanta Swami instead of his Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Today, Kirtananda wanted to organize a Janmashtami celebration in New Vrindavan. And then he said to Prabhupada, but it's not necessary for you to come. So at one point, Prabhupada felt minimized. Then there was a Rati Yatra, and there was they got some news that the Black Panthers were going to try and attack. So they didn't want Prabhupada to ride on the chariot. But then the leaders themselves rode on the chariot. And then Prabhupada saw all these things. Then in Los Angeles, at one point, he had enough and he made an announcement. And he said, I have an announcement to make. I am leaving Iskand. Prabhupada said, I am leaving Iskand. Everyone was like, but how is this possible? He is Iskand. Without him, there is no Iskand. How can Prabhupada leave Iskand? But when Brahmananda heard it, he just jumped up in shock and then fainted right in front of Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada sort of faced and said, okay, I'm not going. So that was the day that Prabhupada almost left Iskand, but in the end he did. This is a story from a book called Swamiji. It is a book that is not yet published, but I got an advanced copy somehow or other, describing the memoirs of Brahmananda Prabhu. And these memoirs of Brahmananda Prabhu are extraordinary because, after all, he was just one of those very early devotees from the early days. But not that. One day, Iskand became incorporated. One day there was a lawyer who stood up in the back and who asked the devotees if they wanted to be part of this society, and they needed a few people to sign a document as like a treasurer and a president and this and that. And you know, they were talking about who would be the president, and Brahmananda said, Gargamuni would make a great treasurer. Gargamuni's nickname is Gargamuni. So he was good. And Satsarupa would make a good secretary. And he said, and Rai Ram can be the president. And Prabhupada said, no, I want you to be the president. So Brahmananda really was the first leader in this camp. And he was the first leader of everything. He was bigger than everybody else. He was clearly the leader, and he was ready to do anything. When Prabhupada said that he wanted his manuscript of Bhagavad Gita published, then Brahmananda just somehow or other tried. It was impossible. But anyway, anyway, he went to this big publishing company, and somehow or other, because someone in that company had ordered a book, so Ramananda thought, okay, I'll go there, and I'll deliver the book, and then I'll show him that we also have this manuscript of the Gita. But it was just some accountant, not like a major person. But just as he was with the accountant thinking, this is not going to go anywhere, the chief editor walked in. And Brahmananda just, as soon as he found out it was the chief editor, immediately said, I have here a Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita as it is from his fingers, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the editor said, a Bhagavad Gita, a Bhagavad Gita. We've just been looking for one. And then it got published. So Krishna made arrangements and everything was possible. But Brahmananda had that surrender. He had that incredible surrender. So at one point, Prabhupada asked Brahmananda to go to Pakistan to preach, and Garga Muni to go to East Pakistan, which is now Bangladesh, to preach. But then, after he had asked, then there was news that it wasn't safe, so Prabhupada sent a telegram. But they never got the telegram, which said, don't go. So they went. And Brahmananda just went, then as a sannyasi in his sannyas dress, with tilak in a Muslim country in 1970, which was the year before the war between India and Pakistan. So it got really intense. And he was in the Haridas Thakur mood, you know, just sitting there in the park as a sannyasi. And people would come up and they'd rub the tilak of his nose. And they were really, really upset that he was walking in his dress. But somehow or other, he just sat there, chanting Hare Krishna, tolerating the Prabhupada told me to preach, so I'm going to preach. It was therefore that Brahmananda was such an extraordinary leader. Such an extraordinary leader. The way Prabhupada had given him sannyas, he says that one day he was offering his obeisances to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, instead of walking past, which he normally did, he stood there. He stood there in front of him. So at one point, Brahmananda noticed him, that he was still there. So he offered the obeisances a little longer. But Prabhupada didn't go. And then, as he looked up, Prabhupada said, Tridandi Brahmananda Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. And that was it. That's basically how we got sannyas. And straight after, there was the danda and everything. But basically, Prabhupada decided. I had no choice. He was just told, okay, at one point, Prabhupada just made him a sannyasi. That was Prabhupada's style in those days. He just did it like that. We have the story of Surabhi. Surabhi was an architect. He was an architect from the Netherlands, actually, and he came to Mumbai, and someone, one of the devotees, met him and told Tamal Krishna, and Tamal Krishna brought him to Prabhupada and said, here is Hans, you know, Hans from the Netherlands, and he is he's an architect. Prabhupada said, architect. And he had, like, pen and paper brought, and said, can you make a sketch for a temple? You want to make a temple in Vrindavan? He sort of gave an idea. And Hans made a sketch, and Prabhupada liked it. And Prabhupada said, tomorrow we'll have initiations. Hans said, oh, that's very interesting. Prabhupada said, yes, would you like to come? He said, yes, of course. He said, who will be initiated? Prabhupada said, you. So, in those days, that was Prabhupada's spirit immediately giving incredible responsibility, incredible demands of people, and then just on the strength of his own spiritual effulgence, to you at all. But Prabhupada anyway said, no, no, you're coming. I have to go, no, no. And he just made the devotee. So quickly and so strongly.
So,
but Brahmananda was so ready to do whatever Prabhupada desired.
And that's why
He became Brahmananda in this birth, because we would have hesitated, but not Brahmananda. And therefore, Brahmananda had this, as this special relationship with Prabhupada, very close. He said one time, he was Prabhupada's secretary. And during that time, he got sick. And Prabhupada really didn't like it. Prabhupada was like, how can you be sick? How can you be sick? As if it was something very dirty. How can you be sick? I'm just sick. So then Prabhupada came into his room and said again, how can you be sick? Brahmananda felt really miserable after that, even worse. And then Prabhupada rubbed him over his head. And then Brahmananda said, and he cured me. And I was cured. I was totally okay. He said, he just cured me like that. He said, he did it twice. He said, one time. He said, Brahmananda said, my back was out. And I couldn't move, and I was sitting on a chair in the temple. And everybody had gone out on Sankirtan. But then I was sitting there, and a telephone rang. And I felt that I had to answer, but I can't answer it because of my back. But anyway, someone with his nose on his toes, he went to the phone and grabbed the phone, answered the call, and someone was on the line and said, can I speak to Brahmananda, please? Speaking? Brahmananda, Brahmananda. Prabhupada wants you to come immediately and become his secretary again. And Brahmananda said, I can't come, my back. And next moment he realized that he was standing straight, actually, and that his back was perfectly fine. And he said, I'm just not coming. So in this way, he said, Prabhupada cured him.
But the one story that Brahmananda told personally that's not in the book
is the story that I like the most. And that was like a few years ago in Vrindavan when Brahmananda was speaking. Then there was one devotee from South America and he asked a question. And he said, with a heavy Spanish accent, he said, you know, in the early days, the devotees are very close and intimate with Prabhupada, just like a family. And then later, when the movement became bigger, something changed. It wasn't the same. How do you feel about it? Do you feel that anything has changed from the early days to, you know, when ISKCON became bigger? And Brahmananda said, you know, when a child is young, his father is his father. And when he's grown up, his father is still his father. Nothing has changed. Same thing, still the same. So then the devotee said, oh, I can see that for you, Prabhupada is God. I think because of his Spanish, he wanted to say, as good as God, but he said, is God. So then Brahmananda said, oh, no, he's not God. Said, I made that mistake once. In 1971, he said, I made that mistake. Said, no, he's not God. He's as good as God. But these days, I think that he's better than God. Because he came to the Lower East Side and saved. Charged with emotion, and everyone was quiet, and everyone became touched by that emotion, right? Yes, better than God, because he saved me, came to the Lord, he saved me. So
So this is truly
the guru-disciple relationship.
It's not casual. It's not a button on a big bag.
It's not just, I have one also. I have a spiritual master. I have one. No. That relationship is everything. It is in that relationship where we surrender. And when we surrender in that relationship, that is how much close we come to Krishna. It is in that. It is there that we are approaching Krishna, nowhere else. When we ignore the spiritual master, how can we get close to Krishna? Somehow or another, we must please our spiritual master. And we see that in the case of Pramananda Prabhu, that is really in the center of his life. Nothing else. The relationship with the spiritual master. And that is why he became one of Prabhupada's most prominent early disciples, because he has that spirit of faith and that dedication. Now things are very different. Indeed, now we are more institutionalized in a way, and the spiritual master is maybe more distant from us in a sense, and we may take the relationship more formal and less personal, but nothing has changed. It is equally personal, because the same thing is there, the same urgency, just as Prabhupada gave sannyas to Brahmananda and Garga Muni, and then sent them to West Pakistan and East Pakistan. There's still the same urgency to spread Krishna consciousness. Here in Phoenix, here in South Africa, here on planet Earth, there is so much to do. And it's up to us. It's up to the individual. When Srila Prabhupada was a householder, he read a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita from Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And in that commentary, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also spoke about the guru-disciple relationship and how that relationship is everything and how the essence is surrender to the spiritual master. And that one should take the order of the spiritual master just on his hand and as his life and soul. And Prabhupada just took that. And that was the great inspiration to just completely dedicate his life to the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Saraswati Thakur, who asked him to preach in the English language. And that gave him the strength to come to the Western world and start preaching Krishna consciousness. So although he was known by the temple devotees as a nice congregational member, a man who would come to the temple and give donations sometimes, this nice Mr. Day, nice man, gives donations, helps the devotees, plays mardanga also, somehow or another he played mardanga. So that's what he was doing. He's the mardanga player. It's good to have a mardanga player. And he helps. And he was also in that way, giving donations. So no one thought of him as a prominent devotee. No one ever expected that Mr. Day would become a world leader of Krishna consciousness. But he became because he took it very us see who will be the leaders of the future. Maybe the same thing will happen here. Maybe someone will come forward who we expect the least. I hope so. I hope that many will come forward. Because that is really what is so greatly needed. It's not that the work is done and now we have a nice movement and all we have to do is be part of it. And all we have to do is take advantage of it and somehow or other become serious devotees and go back to Godhead. Oh no. No, that's not all at all. We have to spread this movement very widely until everybody on the planet. This is part of it. Not any less. So there's so much to do. So if Prabhupada saw the temples as a preaching base. At one point, Prabhupada wanted to produce books, and there was an advertisement in the newspaper where there was a press for sale. So Prabhupada went with Brahmananda to look at the press, and when they came there, they saw there were two presses. So Prabhupada said to the man, he inspected both the presses, and then he said to the man, I think your price is very reasonable, very reasonable. I think I don't want to argue about the price. I said, I don't want to argue about the price. We'll take both presses for that price. And he got away with it. He got both. He didn't argue about the price, but he got two presses for the price of one. And then what he did, he put it in the middle of the temple room. Just right there, in the middle of the temple room. And he transformed the whole temple into a press. And Brahmananda became the leader of the press. And every other devotee also, some were appointed to proofread, others typesetting. Everyone suddenly started working for the press. And that's how the ISKCON press started, which was the forerunner of PDT. And it's just kind of turned the temple into a press. I mean, just think about it. Imagine if you put like two big presses here in the middle of the temple room and start turning into a press. What would anybody think? But that was Prabhupada. A revolutionary, someone who wanted to change the world. And with that spirit in mind, I've come here today. Not because I wanted to give a nice lecture in Phoenix to entertain all of you, but because I think we should do something to bring this Krishna consciousness to other people. And this temple should be the local headquarters from where that endeavor takes place. And I know something is going on, but something more can always go on. Because that was Prabhupada. When he came, he made people do more than they could imagine. He always would just think so big. So that was amazing. I'm thinking of the time.